Hey, Next Level fam. It's JVL here with Sarah. Sarah, say hi.
Hi.
So I know you guys like the show, but have you ever thought to yourself, what if this show just didn't have Tim in it? Couldn't it be even better?
I know you thought that. Of course you thought that.
Well, do we have a treat for you, because Sarah and I do a show, just the two of us, every Friday. It's called The Secret Podcast. It's only for Bulwark Plus members, but we wanted to give you guys a little bit of a taste here today. We talk about some really, really wonderful things. That's wrong, Sarah. They're all terrible things this week. It's a really dark week, and I'm sorry in advance for that, guys. But we talk about RFK and the terrible shooting in Minneapolis and the CDC and whether or not Chicago is going to be occupied by federal troops next. It's kind of a big old thing. It's pretty dark. But
if you want to hear us go deeper on issues and also work out thoughts before we have them, because I would say the Secret Podcast is secret in part because we're not always committed to our takes here. We're thinking out loud. So come do that with us.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. A lot of just like, hey, we're just talking between ourselves while we think of this stuff. Anyway, come and join us, and we hope you like the show. Hello, everyone. This is JVL here with my best friend, Sarah Longwell, publisher of The Bulwark. Sarah, I mean, I guess I'll just say happy Friday. I don't feel happy Friday. I love your new studio.
Thank you. Barry was here until very late last night, conjuring a new studio. Because that, you know how I had that screen in the background?
Yeah, I loved that.
You did. Yeah. Well, it was technically too difficult for me to muster the lighting, the camera, the TV, the background. And I needed something just like permanent that when I turned it on, it was ready to go.
Did he like put up drywall and stuff?
Yeah, he put up this like, it's only half the room, but it's kind of this mock hardwood.
And is it a real corner, or is that just
it's a real
illusion?
No, it's a real corner. Okay. I'm sitting in the corner. They put me in the corner.
Nobody puts Sarah in the corner.
Barry does.
Ooh. All right. So I'm going to need some help from you today, because I have had kind of a week. I don't know if you've been reading any of the triads, but I am trapped in this place where I feel like I'm writing the same thing every day, and readers, I think, don't like it. I don't like writing it, and it is basically every day I now write, holy shit, this thing just happened. It's really, really bad. I don't know how we come back from this. And it's just like, you know, there's a new thing every day. And
what if you experimented with a new formula where you said this terrible thing happened, and here's how we come back from this?
Okay, so you know what? And I'm so glad you said that, because this is a complaint which I am seeing often.
Yeah,
and I don't mean to crack back against people making this complaint and criticism. I just want to explain something to them. It is not the case that I have the answer, and I'm just withholding it from you, because I either get off on withholding, like Lucille Bluth, or because I am trying to keep you on the hook and make sure you come back the next. If I had the answers, I would tell you. I promise. I just don't. It's not that I don't have the answers. I don't even see the answers. I don't see possible answers, really. I mean, we'll talk about all of it, but
see, that's where you land, though, if you think that people are fundamentally rotten and cannot be persuaded, and that there's no coming out of this moment, which is where I come in, because I don't agree with that.
Well, but it's actually worse than that, though, because I think, and this is what I'm going to write about today, I think we're now very close. I don't think we're there yet, but I think we're very close to the point where the cascade failure in the liberal democratic system can't be winched back, even if people decide they want it to be. Like, I mean, so much has now been destroyed, and perverted that I don't know that even if 55% of the country decided, holy shit, this was a big mistake, we got to go backwards, I don't know that we could go backwards now. I mean, we could if we did it right now, but we can't. We got to wait another year and a half. And I don't know, man. Like, it's all very bad. The CDC thing, the troops coming to Chicago because the president is making a lot of noises about how he wants to occupy Chicago. The shooting really, really hit me pretty hard. Like, I don't know, like another school shooting. We have them all the time. I don't know. I guess we'll start. Can we start with that? Can we start with the school shooting? Or would you rather not?
No. Okay. I'll start wherever you want to start. I just, I guess I want to, I'm eager to take on your premise of there's no coming back.
Let's save that for the back half.
Okay.
Cause that's like a big discussion, and it's not look, I'm not sure of it. Just thinking these things through. All right. So I have a political question for you.
Okay.
Okay. The director of the FBI says that the shooting in Minneapolis was domestic terrorism. I am happy to agree with that. Sounds right to me.
Yep.
Why have Democrats not with one voice gone to every camera in America to say, Kash Patel has turned counterterrorism operations inside the FBI upside down. He said that he's going to focus on immigration and violent street crime. He is raiding, a week before this tragedy, he was raiding John Bolton's house 4 days before the tragedy. He's posting videos of himself doing pull-ups because he says the FBI's mission is doing the Kennedy Hegseth challenge. This guy should have foreseen this. The FBI and Kash Patel failed to stop domestic terrorism because they're incompetent. There must be consequences. Why is that not the unified Democratic message from every single elected Dem in the country?
Well, careful, JVL, because you'll get accused by our audience of only bashing Dems.
No, not bashing. Like, I just feel like, isn't this the most obvious thing in the world? Just, like, I wrote about this yesterday, and like, you know, like nobody even really responded to it. Like, it just seems obvious to me. This is a massive intelligence failure on the part of the FBI, which I wouldn't pay all that much attention to had the FBI not specifically said and acted that in ways to suggest that they don't really care about counterterrorism anymore. And so, like, I don't know, shouldn't this be hung around their necks?
Of course it should. And this is where this is where I live right now, and why I get so many people get so angry at me and say, Sarah, why do you just focus on what Democrats aren't doing instead of what Republicans are doing? And I'm like, because they're symbiotic. Like, the more outrageous what is happening with Republicans is, the more desperate we are for serious, meaningful pushback from Democrats. It doesn't even have to be coordinated messaging from a communication standpoint, because it should be organic outrage. Like, they should be moved by this. They should be moved to go on offense, not because somebody told them to go on offense, but because it's so obvious when you look at the situation that the problem, especially the Republicans are out there right now. You got RFK saying the problem is SSRIs.
The problem is that Kash Patel is spending his time doing pull-ups instead of running counterterrorism operations. That's the problem. Can you imagine if this was Christopher Wray during the Biden administration? Right? Like, what Fox would be saying right now? Like, you know, there's a fire Christopher Wray. Just ought to be a steady drumbeat. Fire Kash Patel. Kash Patel should be fired. Kash Patel should be fired. Just say it over and over.
This is just the next thing. This is the next thing, too. Like, this is Kash Patel also didn't release the Epstein file. Like, it takes everybody like a million years to jump on and say, because they're like, well, this takes us away from kitchen table issues. And are you effectively talking about those either? Because like, I guess if you showed me that you were winning a massive communications battle on kitchen table issues and economics in a way that, you know, I saw you guys out there all the time, maybe I'd be like, okay, well, they're really focused on this, so they're not talking about this. But instead, it's just an excuse to talk about what you are and are not going to talk about rather than talking about the thing that moves you at the time. And these are all gimmies. They're all gimmies. Like, they are doing insane things that have people angry. Donald Trump is underwater on all of these issues. You can go push on these. You know, JBL, I am, I'm working on a project right now. This is one of the reasons that I had to take a summer break from a couple of the pods, because there's a couple other things I'm working on. But one of them is this essential question of, why does 2024, 2025, why do they feel so different from 2017 and 2018? Like, it's so much worse than it was then. Like, if you think back to Muslim ban, right? That time. Yeah. And then women's march in the streets, you know, just the way that people were pushing back, the level of confidence going into 2018, the number of new candidates, like the level of energy in the Democratic Party was through the roof. And it's just this exhaustion now.
Also, Trump's approval is much better now. And this is the other thing that's crazy to me. I was looking at this week, and I've become slightly obsessed with it. In late August of 2017, Trump was minus 16 net approval. And things were pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Like, just objectively in the country. Things are bad objectively in the country. The economy is slowing down. Inflation is back. Like, there are troops in the streets. And he's only at like minus 8. Mm-hmm. Net. He is literally twice. He's doing 2x better now with conditions being objectively worse than he was.
Do you know why?
Yes, because people are used to it. People are just used to it. And they're like, oh, okay. You know, in 2017, there was a sense of, holy shit, what did we do? There was buyer's remorse. And now people are just like, well, this is the world we live in.
Well, people didn't think it would happen. I mean, I did so many focus groups about this in the years following the 2016 election. And the thing I heard over and over again was, I didn't think he was going to win. I just, you know, I didn't want to vote for Hillary Clinton, so I took a flyer. And then right afterwards, they were like, this is terrible. Like, we do not want this. But you are right. Not only are people conditioned to it, but the entire culture is conditioned to it. So it took until, because I also was looking back at this, it took until 2018 for Republicans to really start falling in line. Like, what we saw a lot of in 2017 was resignations, people pushing back.
It was after the blowout. It was after the blowout midterms when Republicans find, which again is the craziest thing. You would think it would be the opposite. You would think like, oh shit, the Republican Party got blowed up. Then they would, but it didn't. And it's because the people who got blowed out of the Republican Party were all of the marginal Trump supporters. So all that was left.
Or even the non-Trump supporters. People. Like, that's when Carlos Curbelo lost. It was a lot of people who won in sort of center-left districts, super moderate Republicans. And so they were the first to go. And anybody who spoke up also went. That's when Jeff Flake went. And so Trump started to, more consolidate power as people fell in line. Anyway, the vibes, the energy is so different now. And this is how I close every Bulwark Live show, right? Is about talking about how the authoritarians want you to be tired. And so when people are like, what can I do? I was with a bunch of people recently and older, more like our parents' age. And a lot of them were just like, I watched all the news, but like, I'm not doing that this time. I'm tapped out. And I think that's a real thing. I hear it in the groups too. People saying, I can't watch it.
I do this for a living and I feel it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how somebody whose job wasn't doing this could force themselves to stay looking at this car wreck every day. Honestly, it's, but all of this is just like, I don't know. I want people to say fire Cash Patel. And it just seems like the easiest thing in the world to say, this guy's made a point of saying he isn't going to do counterterrorism anymore. His organization used to be responsible for counterterrorism. There's a terrorist attack on U.S. soil. So why don't you make them pay for that with public opinion? Like, I just, that pull up video ought to be fucking infamous.
Yeah. And embarrassing. They should be ashamed of it. But
it should be my pet goat.
Yeah.
The pull up video should be my pet goat.
Instead, it's become about the sexual identity or lack, you know,
or guns or whatever. And look, I have zero sympathy on guns, but like, you got to be nimble and go where there are openings. Don't make this a gun conversation. Make this a FBI Cash Patel problem.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You can still make it a gun conversation. And I don't think we should let... I don't think Republicans want to bully people into not politicizing these tragedies. But they do... like
While politicizing the tragedies,
right? Like, they think they only get to do it. And so I need people, you know, like Jen Psaki... was taking a lot of heat from the right. They just decided to make her the mark and call her a ghoul because she was talking about prayers not being enough. And I think Egger actually took her on too, on the idea of like, no, like praying is good. It is what we have in the face of senseless tragedy. Fine. Like, but it is not a question of prayer, no prayer. It is a question of why do these young people have guns? Like, sorry. And your locked doors wouldn't work in this case. Ted Cruz, the idea that we're locking down churches.
Yeah, the doors are the problem. Remember that from Uvalde?
Yeah, the doors problem. I do remember. I think you have a better chance of taking an immediate bite out of Patel than you do out of the gun lobby, I guess, is your point. I still think the thing, it's not the message or the particulars of this message exactly to me. It's simply the lack of full force outrage. These are little kids in church. Like, why do we continue to tolerate this as a culture? I always think these things are a little bit related in terms of what we become more and more tolerant of as a culture, where it should have been enough after... all those kids Sandy were killed Hook. In Connecticut.
Yeah. Sandy Hook.
Where we said, you know what? Because these are, I'm not talking about banning guns. I'm talking about, are we raising the age that somebody can acquire one of these? Are we lowering the magnum capacity, or like the capacity of these weapons?
Yeah. It's all very bad. And RFK.
Speaking of people dying.
That guy, I had some things about him that were edited out of my newsletter the other day. I'll just say that.
Tell them to me.
What a monster. I think the phrase I used was donkey raping shit eater. It didn't make it to the final copy. So that's fine.
We're here to save you from yourself.
Can I read you something from our friend? I know what a healthy child is supposed to look like. I'm looking at kids while I walk through the airports today as I walk down the street, and I see these kids that are just overburdened with mitochondrial challenges. Inflammation, you can tell it from their faces, from their body movement, from their lack of social connection. This guy is the Secretary of Health and Human Services. Like, I just don't, again, I don't understand how a country can tolerate that, because it's insane.
Yeah.
The guy who's in head of health and human services for the American people is like, yeah, well, I'm an old man. I went to law school a long time ago, and I know what healthy children look like. And I get to see the mitochondrial problems in their face. Like, what the? It's like having some dude with like face piercings and explaining how Santeria is how you do hell. It's insane. And the country is just like, yeah, okay. Fuck that.
I mean, the country, well, to be fair, I can't speak for the country actually, but I'll speak for at least on the CDC side, we're starting to see what I hope that we would see in some of these other agencies, right? Where people are walking out and resigning at the CDC, which is a negative for our health system in the immediate term, because he just appointed his like random deputy now as his like chief of staff is now like the deputy director of the CDC.
Well, let me read this to you, Sarah.
Okay.
So our new acting CDC director is a gentleman named Jim O'Neill. You might wonder, did he go to medical school? He did not. I'm going to read to you from The Guardian.
I don't have to wonder. I know
he didn't. He is a former speechwriter for the health department during the Bush years who went on to work for tech investor and conservative megadonor Peter Thiel. During the COVID pandemic, O'Neill voiced public support for unproven treatments that were not supported by scientific evidence, including ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, as well as vitamin D and supposed prophylaxis. He also posted a number of conspiratorial theories on social media, including the baseless claim that the name COVID was chosen to conceal the origin of the virus. This name made it harder to study and probably slowed the response.
What?
This is the guy who's now in charge of the CDC.
So anyway, short term, that's bad in the short term. I think in the long term, to your question about how do we rebuild, I do think people getting out of there in the short term so that they can come back when, you know, knock on wood, you've got a normal president that says, we are going to reestablish these agencies and we would like the experts to come back. Now, and hopefully some of them will, but these scathing resignations. And when you say Americans don't care, there might not be like an immediate revolt. I do think I am hopeful that people will start to care as this becomes more, you know, it's funny. It's a really difficult decision to decide who is the worst of the cabinet members. I do think RFK Jr. is the one who's ultimately going to do the most like immediate damage to people. Did you know he's a former heroin addict?
Yes.
And I just listened to him and I cannot believe it is the most preposterous. I mean, Kash Patel is preposterous. Pam Bondi is behaving preposterously. Like she's terrible at her job. You know, Pete Hegseth was preposterous to run this massive bureaucracy, but I think RFK might be the most preposterous and ultimately deadly. But you know who I blame? Senator Cassidy.
You can blame him.
I can blame him and Susan Collins, who, God, I hope she loses this Senate race. But Cassidy, everybody looked to Cassidy. This was like a moment of leadership potential where you could say, look, I'm a doctor. I know a crank and a quack when I see one. And he did. And he thought, sure, run America's largest health agency. Sure.
I mean, there's enough blame to go around. I blame Cassidy. I blame all these fucking people. But also the people who voted for Trump and the people who don't care. Again, 44% approval right now. I think he's got
in his aggregate. It's like,
oh, in his aggregate.
Yeah. Yeah. The silver like, aggregate. Yeah.
44% of the country looks at all of this and is like, yeah, thumbs up. I don't know what to do with that.
To be fair, I agree. It's actually one of the stranger phenomenons of this term so far is that Trump's personal approval is holding somewhat steady around 43-44%, but his issue by issue approval is extraordinarily underwater. Like he's really underwater on immigration. He's really underwater on putting National Guard in the street. He's really underwater on the economy. And so the fact that his personal approval remains that high, I think is a sunk cost like problem for people where they're just like, yeah, I'm going to support him no matter what. Cause I own this decision for him, but that is a reversal from how things were previously.
Yeah. That's a very good point. It is a reversal. All right. So I want to talk about Pritzker and the next wave of National Guard deployments. But we should probably do that on the other side. So, Guys, if you have enjoyed this amazingly happy and optimistic show so far, you should come and listen to the rest of it as a Bulwark Plus member, because it gets even better. Right, Sarah?
I think it does get better. It always gets better. It can get better. We have agency over whether or not it gets better. That's my line, and I'm sticking to it. I will say, though, you should come join us behind the paywall, because we paywall almost nothing. Sometimes I see people getting angry saying, how can you guys put a paywall up? And you know what? We think you can't save democracy from behind a paywall, which is why we make just about everything at the Bulwark free. There's like two things that you pay for, and this would be one of them. And so paying for you is less about getting this amazing content and more about coming to ride with us and supporting the overall mission, so we can continue to have more influence over the conversation, and we will continue to make as much free as possible. So come ride with us.